This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stephone Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello there.
Well, hello.
You see what I did?
No, I don't.
Yes. I knew you wouldn't. Perfect, because that is a great segue into what we're talking about today. So we are doing another sub-segment of fictional women around the world. And because we've had a lot of Star Wars content lately, not that I really need any excuse, we just got the trailer for the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show coming out May 25th. I have a few Star Wars women I'd like to highlight in these segments ramping up to that I'm hoping will be like a primer if you want to know more. And we're starting with Satine Kurz, who is best known from the Clone Wars television show. So if you haven't watched that and you don't want to be spoiled, or if you want to go into Obi-Wan Kenobi show totally like fresh, as in you don't want to know anything, that's great. She might not be mentioned at all, to be honest, but I think she's important to his character. So if you don't want any of this information, then come back later because it's going to be interesting. And I'm going to run through this one because it's confusing. And Samantha, your very, very important task is I want you to stop me if you are confused or have questions, because I get in my own head and I assume people know what I'm talking about and they don't, which is very fair.
So preface with, I have watched a few episodes of Clone Wars. So I was more into the Bad Batch and Rebels, because in Clone Wars, you have one of the same characters and Sistine is mentioned, correct? But not in Rebels.
Satine is mentioned.
Satine, not Sistine.
Sistine.
Automatically bad.
No, this is great. This is what I want, Samantha.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was in Clone Wars. She didn't show up until a bit later in the show. I believe she is mentioned. And she is actually like, she's kind of, what's the word for that? A lot of things that are happening in The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett and in Rebels don't directly mention her, but are talking about her. Like they're kind of, she is a constant.
I thought her name was actually mentioned in Rebels because of, who is the Mandalorian in Rebels? The young girl?
Sabine.
Sabine. Mm-hmm. Sabine mentions Satine.
Yes.
Because they kind of compare the two of them, correct?
Yes. I think you are. Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
I'm jumping ahead. I'm just making sure I know where we are in this moment, because I'm probably going to have a lot of questions. Typically, I don't have questions until I've watched whatever, because it doesn't click until that point. Mm-hmm. But okay, here we go.
Yes. We are going to be talking about a lot of stuff you've mentioned, because as I said, she is throughout, even if they don't say her name directly, she is a very big part of this. So Yes, Star Wars canon is very, very complicated. It's made even more complicated that they keep taking things from Legends, which was what was canon before Disney bought it, and making it canon. So I'm very confused, and I'm somebody who lives in this world. So I can only imagine.
And I now dispute what canon is, because I'm like, that's... You can't... All right, fine. I'm too literal of a person to take this in.
I have a headcanon that is... It's functioning like a well-oiled machine. I am going to try to simplify, but we do need some context for this one, starting with Mandalorians. So first of all, if you're curious, the Darksaber, which is kind of the black lightsaber you've seen if you've watched recent Star Wars media, including The Mandalorian and Rebels and Clone Wars, and Book of Boba Fett, was created by a Mandalorian Jedi named Tar Vizsla, who is, yes, related to Paz Vizsla, who is sort of the big blue Mandalorian that's in the same covert as the Mandalorian Din Djarin. Anyway, and this darksaber was later used to slaughter a lot of Jedi in the Jedi-Mandalorian War. Lightsabers are made with sentient kyber crystals that kind of communicate with their owner. A dark side force user or a Sith bleeds their kyber crystal, flooding it with pain, hate, anger, so that it becomes red. It's kind of very sad. They make their kyber crystal hurt. But, all right, if you've watched The Mandalorian, you know that whoever wields the Darksaber is the rightful ruler of Mandalore, the Mandalorian homeworld that was raised and destroyed by Imperial forces during the war. And the Darksaber must be won in legitimate combat. Okay,
wait.
All right, yes, go.
Why was a Darksaber created?
The Darksaber was created because Tar Vizsla was both a Jedi and a Mandalorian. So every Jedi, to complete their quest to become a Jedi, you have to go find a kyber crystal that calls to you and make that into a lightsaber. The Darksaber was different because he was a Mandalorian slash Jedi, and also it became a weapon that was passed down. So normally you would not take a lightsaber that wasn't yours. It's kind of similar to what happens in Harry Potter with the Elder Wand. Like, if you take a lightsaber that you have not won the respect of, it's not yours, it's going to fight you a little bit because it's supposed to be kind of a symbiotic relationship. So when Luke was using like Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, that lightsaber was never going to be a good fit for him completely because you would feel the echoes of the person who did it before. The Darksaber is different because it's meant to be passed down. And so you do feel the echoes of people before. And so if you've seen the most recent Book of Boba Fett show, when Din Djarin is trying to fight with it and it looks like it's heavy, that's because they are not, right now, he is fighting his destiny with the Darksaber. So it is fighting him. He's fighting it. They aren't working together.
So two questions.
Okay, yes.
On that. Because I need to know the origin stories. I have to have origin stories. Okay. Why is it bad? Because he's a Mandalorian? Like, why is it bad that he's a Mandalorian? Because that's what it sounds like. Why is it so different for a Mandalorian to be a Jedi? Or a Jedi be a Mandalorian?
Because the Mandalorians are typically a very violent race that celebrate war and violence. That's why you have to win it in combat. And also, the Jedi are a very peaceful, non-violent group.
But they're not.
Yes. Well, they lost their way for sure. But like, that's why it's sort of, their ideologies are very different. Like their ideas about how to go about the world are very different. So it's hard to reconcile those things. You can, but it's hard. But it's not like that they're bad. It's just, they're not really compatible in a lot of ways.
Yes. So with this, why is this one saber supposed to be passed down? That makes no sense. And why is it supposed to be that they're the ruler? Just because it's a saber?
Because if you have pure Beskar, which is what the Mandalorian has, and also what I assume Tar Vizsla has, that is resistant to lightsabers, can't infiltrate it. Also, it's resistant to the Force. So, like, you can't really feel the thoughts, emotions of people who are wearing full Beskar, which you could if you have the Force. So, Tar Vizsla, it comes about, and he's got the Force, he's got the saber, he's got full Beskar. He's kind of like, you can't take him down, and he goes on this whole quest, and he's seen as sort of godlike. And so when it's taken from him, it's viewed as, oh, I'm just as powerful as him. And then that's when it's used in this Jedi Mandalorian War, where it was used to kill a lot of Jedi, which means that, like I said, if you do something like that with a kyber crystal, it bleeds. So when someone picks up the Darksaber, they use it, you're going to feel like that pain of what this saber has done. Okay. And that's, normally you wouldn't have that, because again, you're supposed to make your own and it's going to be your thing and you're not going to have to deal with like all the other things. But it just became, because again, the Mandalorians are, it's a creed that really puts on a pedestal like violence and power and combat. And so the saber became that of like this ultimate weapon. I'm the most powerful. I can wield this. And then that means I can lead people. I should be the ruler of this planet and this race.
Okay. I'm caught up. This might need to be a two-parter. Keep going.
Okay, we haven't even gotten to the character yet.
I know. That's why I said we're a minute 10, and I'm like, this is what I asked for.
It's complicated. I did ask for it.
I have other questions, but it has nothing to do with this specific, so I will hold off on those questions.
Okay, I'm so excited. I love this so much.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so yes, as of now, the Darksaber is in possession of the Mandalorian Din Djarin, much to the regret of Bo-Katan Kurse, is the redheaded Mandalorian played by Katie Sackhoff, both in the animated series and the live-action Mandalorian. Who is the sister of the person we're talking about today, Satine.
Okay. She mentions her in The Mandalorian.
She does indeed. All right, so This brings us to Duchess Satine Kurrs of House Kurrs, who is a human Mandalorian woman who believed that the only way for Mandalore to survive was to move away from their violent warrior history. She was born on an outer rim planet, but was brought to the planet Mandalore when she was still young. She spoke her first words on Mandalore and could remember a time before the planet had been ravaged by wars. She was active in the decades before the fall of the Galactic Republic, aka when Anakin became Darth Vader and Palpatine rose to power. So all that stuff leading up, like prequel era, that's when she was making her moves. She became the extremely controversial leader of Mandalore during the Clone Wars and pushed for the government to become pacifist. Again, I said it several times, but Mandalore is like a creed that's like all about violence and power and war, warriors. She came in and was like, no, I think we've got to change. To get a taste of what she was all about, she once said, "War is intolerable. We have been deceived into thinking that we must be part of it. I say the moment we committed to fighting, we already lost." So yeah, she became the leader of Mandalore after the Mandalorian Civil War, which is different than the Mandalorian Jedi War, between reformist Mandalorians and traditional warrior Mandalorians.
And this is played out in the Rebels, yeah? I kind of understand this because it was kind of talked about in the Rebels when we have Sabine fighting that other clan.
Yes, so we're going to get to
Asian,
that.
And yes. I was very happy about that. Keep going.
Yeah.
Or at least seemingly Asian, according to the animation.
We are going to get to that, but there's a lot of wars in Mandalore's history, so these are kind of separate, but there is a whole thing that does happen in Rebels. So there was massive loss of life in this civil war, and Satine oversaw the reconstruction effort with the end goal of a peaceful society. And a part of the issue was the increase of weaponry technology and the reciprocal damage it could cause. So it's, I guess the fallout
was
way bigger. Yeah.
When did Beskar come into play? Because this was not original part of the original, because I know the Mandalorian really didn't come into play, and it was only like a blip in the originals that I have seen repeatedly with you. So when did Beskar come into play?
Beskar was one of those things they kind of introduced later, but was they introduced it and like, it's always been there. So Beskar, the Imperials stole it. That's why they ruined their planet, is because they wanted it because it's so powerful. And they used it for credits. So the Imperial credits, like money was made of Beskar. And that's why, like, you, as an honorable Mandalorian, you don't take a job from an Imperial. And I think that's one of the reasons Din Djarin in The Mandalorian was like, wait a minute, these are Imperial.
And this has nothing to do with Satine, and I know we're coming back, but I just need to know, is this why people really hate Boba Fett? Because he was too passive as well in the new show, as well as The Mandalorian?
I don't think that's why. I think
keep going then.
Okay.
I just wondered.
I have my own opinion about that, but I don't think it's that. I believe his armor is not full. Beskar armor is rare. A lot of it is plastoid because the Imperials did take it all. But what Din Djarin is wearing is full Beskar. Okay, so back to Satine. Under her leadership, the planet did well. But despite that, a lot of Mandalorian groups really did not approve of her pacifist ways. She had a peace park built and passed laws to do away with violent Mandalorian practices that led to the Mandalorian Civil War. She did her best to keep Mandalore out of the Clone Wars, which was a war orchestrated by Palpatine involving clones that became stormtroopers due to chips in their heads. It's a whole thing. And separatist droids. And she was an extremely vocal dissenter of this war, despite multiple attempts on her life. One of her biggest opponents was from the Mandalorian group Death Watch. Yep. Often described as terrorist. Sound familiar? If you've seen The Mandalorian, it should. Satine's estranged sister, Bo-Katan, was a member of Death Watch.
Oh.
When war broke out between the Confederacy of Independent Systems and the Republic, Satine was determined to remain neutral and became the leader of the Council of Neutral Systems. This was not a popular decision. The Confederacy and the Republic condemned her, desiring Mandalorian military prowess on their side. On top of this, Satine faced shortages and increased attacks from Death Watch, and even an arrest warrant and assassination attempts. The Republic attempted to occupy Mandalore in response to these things, but Satine managed to appeal to them to halt their occupation. As the war continued, she faced corruption in a black market. She had a lot going on.
So wait, her sister was against her?
Yep, sure was.
And that's why we see her feeling so bad in The Mandalorian?
Part of it, yep. Yes, we'll get to that.
Okay. Betrayal. Betrayal. Oh, the betrayal.
So much betrayal in Star Wars, I tell you.
There's so much.
I'm telling you. So, though her relationship with the Republic was complicated, she was friends with Padme Amidala and Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. In fact, she and Obi-Wan, they had a lot going on too. So earlier, when multiple bounty hunters had been sent after Satine, Jedi Qui-Gon Jinn and his apprentice Obi-Wan were sent to protect her. And there were these increasing threats. So the trio fled the planet, having adventures on the run, you know, as you do. In one incident, Obi-Wan rescued Satine from some venomous mites, but accidentally dropped her while carrying her to safety, resulting in a permanent scar that she brings up quite frequently.
So do they get together?
Hold on, Samantha.
You can ask me to ask questions and not expect me not to jump ahead.
But, yes, they, of course, started to develop romantic feelings for each other. Yes. Eventually, her supporters ensured it was safe enough for Satine to return to Mandalore. But that was not the end of their interactions at all. Obi-Wan was later sent by the Jedi Council to investigate an incident on Mandalore where they have some witty, snarky back and forth, a walk, some compliments, some political conversations about peace and violence and Jedi. After she was attacked during their walk, Satine rushed to help those injured and later held the hand of one of the perpetrators as he died. Later, after Obi-Wan was captured, she rushed to his rescue. They banter some more, and they fight their way out of a Death Watch camp, where it is revealed that Governor Vizsla is in ownership of the Darksaber. Obi-Wan bests him in combat. Satine and Obi-Wan meet up again, though by this point, Satine is annoyed with Obi-Wan's support for the Republic's occupation of Mandalore, and their relationship is tense. She argued the Jedi were no longer peacekeepers, and he argued she was naive and only listened to people that agreed with her. They were able to fight seamlessly together to fend off another assassination attempt on her, though. At one point, she was tortured but refused to give up her ideals. And later, when she was held hostage and believed she was going to die, she confessed that she had been in love with him since they'd met. And he told her he was ready to leave the Jedi Order for her.
Ooh, did he not learn from Anakin?
Okay, so this is the whole thing. We're going to get into it. I'm so excited. Okay, so she escaped and they both decided they couldn't abandon their responsibilities, though that they wished they could. They could not be together. But if you jump ahead, back to our main timeline, I guess. The Sith Darth Maul, who's kind of the demonic-looking fellow that was first introduced in Phantom Menace, and he's like really, he's really mad Obi-Wan Kenobi cut him in half and has kind of got this whole thing about him.
That's kind of fair. Okay, keep going.
He united a bunch of crime families, including the Pikes, yep, from Book of Boba Fett, Black Sun, and the Hutts, known as the Shadow Collective, including Death Watch leader Pre Vizsla. Yup, so this Vizsla family is really all up in it, to get rid of Satine Kurrs. They attacked the capital of Mandalore and arrested Satine. Darth Maul killed Vizsla and claimed the Darksaber after Vizsla betrayed him and was briefly the leader of Mandalore. And Bo-Katan defected, freeing her sister from prison. They both agreed to work together to take out Maul, who is now acting as ruler of Mandalore. Satine managed to contact Obi-Wan with a very "you're my only hope" message before she was recaptured. The Jedi Council turned down Obi-Wan's request to help due to them being neutral and it being an internal matter, but Obi-Wan disobeyed them, and he rescued Satine in a very, "hey, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you" moment. And they banter about the memories they have together, good and bad. However, the pair are once again captured trying to escape. Darth Maul, yes, hates Obi-Wan, and so he murders Satine with the Darksaber in front of him in an attempt to punish him and turn him to the dark side. As she died, she told Obi-Wan she loved him, and then her era of pacifism on Mandalore ended. Her planet is in turmoil. The government's in ruins. Obi-Wan struggles with anger over this and tried to get Anakin to open up to him by sharing his own emotions and experiences. So when we did that episode on Jedi attachment recently in the happy hour, this is an example of having the attachment, letting it go. Anakin had a lot of other things going on.
Oh,
but
so he's saying
not
he did it
that.
The right way.
Yes.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. So okay, let me go back to this one moment, because I need to have a moment about this whole. Do you predict that we will see Darth Maul in the Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I believe he was going to be in it. There's a lot of news that he was written out.
Why?
There were creative differences.
With the actor or the creators?
They did like a whole rehaul, apparently. And they wrote out Darth Maul and replaced him with Darth Vader and the Grand Inquisitor.
Oh. Okay, and on top of that, this is all this information you're getting from comics?
No, this is mostly in the show.
Oh, is it actually? Okay, this is how little I know of this show.
That's all good.
I'm not going to lie, the animation did not interest me and I could care less. And you were correct when you said that Osaka was so badly done at the beginning. I know Osaka, she is coming yes. to her, so has, and then we're going to talk about that in a second, I know. But so I was trying to figure it out. Okay. So we have seen Bo-Katan come back with mm-hmm. a sister for mm-hmm. like a moment of truth.
Yeah.
Darth Maul, who did show up in Rebels.
Yep.
So I do know that context of him. Of course, we saw him in the one that I like, the Solo, Han Solo, because no one dies for no f-ing reason. Rogue One. However.
That's a big reason. No,
okay, really. Fine. It's a big reason, but it was not warned. I was not warned.
That's my bad.
I'm still bitter.
I'm sorry.
Can't still
look
bitter.
Out for our movie pick for May.
Anyway, but okay, so that's where we see Darth Maul. And Darth Maul pops back up in Rebels as an older person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and he's an interesting character because he's a... he was kind of betrayed by the Sith and he's in a weird in-between space. Also, Obi-Wan just like kills him in one hit. It's pretty wild.
Okay, and also Bo-Katan, do you think it's going to come up in Obi-Wan?
No, I don't think so.
So yeah. Her story's not going to play out. Do you think it's going to be played out in Mandalorian or is it going to be a whole different
story? Yes. Oh, she's going to show back up for sure.
I know. Like they lit her up to be like a bigger character or at least a plot line.
Yeah, no, she's for sure going to show back up. I think they're trying to consolidate storylines, which is why they wrote out Darth Maul. I'm very excited to talk about Beru. But anyway.
Okay, keep going. All right. All right.
Yes. So, just to really twist the knife, like Star Wars likes to do, Ahsoka, who is Anakin's Padawan, who left the Jedi Order, who we're going to talk about soon, she taught at an academy on Mandalore. And after she left the Jedi Order, she answered the call of Bo-Katan to help take the planet back from Darth Maul. She approached Obi-Wan and Anakin for help, but they had been called in on a rescue mission to save Chancellor Palpatine. And yes, this is the scene that opens Revenge of the Sith right before Anakin falls. But Obi-Wan was reluctant to send aid to Mandalore because it would break all of these treaties that were in place. But Ahsoka was able to get them to agree to send her this squad of clone troopers to help. And with Ahsoka's help, Bo-Katan is able to take control of Mandalore. But then, of course, Chancellor Palpatine initiated Order 66. The Jedi were murdered. The chips and the clones activated. The Empire rose, Anakin became Vader, Obi-Wan went into hiding, Padme gave birth and died, and Palpatine, yeah, became Emperor. And yeah, truly, this happens in two depressing episodes. Woo, they pack a lot in. Also, Sabine Wren, who was once a member of Death Watch, and I guarantee you'll be seeing her a lot soon, developed a super weapon that she called the Duchess after Satine. Oof. So yeah, she remained a controversial figure. Like, if Sabine named a weapon after this pacifist Satine, that's oof. And Maul kept a portrait of her as sort of a trophy after he killed her. And Bo-Katan, who never like officially won the saber, lost it to Moff Gideon. So that's why she's so particular in The Mandalorian about, I have to win it this way. Or no one will respect me, especially after I lost it to this guy.
Okay, so so in the Rebels, it's been a minute. Sabine won the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm. She had it for a minute.
She gave it to Bo-Katan?
Yes.
You can gift it to people?
No, you can't. She did, though. And Bo-Katan believes that because they didn't obey that tradition of it has to be won in fair combat.
That's why she lost it to Moff Gideon.
No one respected her anyway because she'd just been gifted it. You have to win it in combat.
So had they had a fake battle, she would have been better?
No, you can't throw the fight. You have to be... That's another thing. When Din Djarin was like, just take it. And she's like, no, we'll fight. You take it. She's like, no, like it has to be a fair... You lost it fairly and not with somebody throwing the fight. Because the saber, again, can sense... Your whole thing.
Okay, so it needs the true intentions. Mm-hmm. Sabine probably would have lost to Bo-Katan, wouldn't she? Had they actually fought it?
I don't know, because again, you have to train with the saber. Like a lightsaber is not a thing you just pick up and can use. It's a very, especially for somebody who can't use the Force, it will fight you. And that's why she has that long training scene with Kanan.
Right.
And I don't know that Bo-Katan, I don't think she ever had.
I'm very bitter he's dead, by the way. I think that might be why I stopped watching everything. I was like, why? I'm very angry.
His voice is in Rise of Skywalker.
You. Keep going.
Well, no, that's what I have to say about Satine. I doubt she's going to show up, to be honest. But I do think that's sort of an important part of Obi-Wan's character. He did have this. He was able to let go.
Satine and Obi's relationship, Obi-Wan Kenobi's relationship, is canon?
Is canon.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Disney's whole thing to keep canon? Can they really ignore Satine?
No, I don't think they want to ignore her. I just think they won't. I think in this show, she won't come up.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe she will. Maybe I'll be wrong because he spends a lot of time on Tatooine, I'm assuming, just reminiscing, ruminating over the sad things that his life is.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Okay. All right. I'm glad Samantha will allow it.
I'll allow it.
Yes.
But I still hesitate.
Okay. Wow. This one did. I'm so glad we did it this way. I hope that it's not been super confusing and it has illuminated some things for you. And yeah, we've got many more Star Wars ladies to talk about. So I'm excited.
So many more questions.
Yes. I love it. I love it. In the meantime, if you have any suggestions for this segment or any other thing that we do, you can email us at stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffIWeNeverToldYou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Christina, I know you have questions. Ask your questions, because yes, don't make me look like I'm by myself over here.
You are not. I guarantee you, you are not. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.